Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalary Podcast. I'm Steve. He's
Larry Van Beek.
He's Larry Van Beek, folks. Look, we're both here. We're back. And here we are at the end of all things. Well, at least at the end of Revelation. So today we're going to talk about Revelation 22. Larry, is there any sort of introduction you want to give to this final chapter of Revelation?
No, this is the end of the book, Steve. John's finished. The beginning of 22 is actually completing the vision in 21, right? The first five verses are 21, and then he goes on to tell everybody to hang in there. Jesus is coming soon.
Yeah. Okay.
Maranatha is the word.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. When I was in the States, there was a place, our Pentecostal old folks home was called Maranatha Manor. Which I thought was very appropriate.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for them, that was very...
Maranatha was about... Yeah, it was about to come towards them, right?
Yeah. But whether he did it or not, it didn't really matter for them at that point. And I'm laughing at that because I'm so very close to that myself.
Yeah, I was going to say, as you and I approach death's door, here we are. Well, in that spirit.
let's look at the end together.
Yes. Well, folks, as always, we're reading out of the ESV. And so we're going to start verse 1. And I think we agreed that we'll read on until the end of verse 6. And then we'll go from there. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on the other side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and its Lamb, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits and the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. Sorry, I'm doing my English as a second language moment here.
And it's English as another language.
Yes, that's right. That's
right. Many people, it's not their second language, it's their third.
But you emphasize that this is kind of the, we were talking about this pre-show, you emphasize this was kind of the last of a certain event. Larry, what was that again? It was like the Missouri sort of state, right? The show me states.
Yes, that's right. But now we're just finishing off this vision of the New Jerusalem and of heaven coming down. And you notice I've gone somewhere else because I've completely forgotten what it was that we had talked about before.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah.
So, and you got the river coming down the middle of the street, and bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God. So the source of the river now is God's throne, and everybody who talks about this and what's coming in a little bit will say he's taking us back to Genesis 1. This is back. Now this version says no longer will there be anything accursed. Most of the versions will say no longer will there be a curse. The curse is gone. And what they actually say is this is the return from the curse of Genesis. The curse that Adam and Eve suffered in the garden is gone, right? And so now there's the tree of life is now growing right down on either side of this river. That's flowing down the middle of the New Jerusalem, coming from God's throne, and the curse of Genesis is gone. Everybody can eat from the tree of life again.
Right.
So everybody is immortal.
Right.
Or eternal. Or probably immortal. Yeah. Probably the right word. Right.
Yeah. I'm with you.
These trees. That grows down on either side of the banks. This has been mentioned. I think Zechariah mentions the river, Ezekiel 47 mentions there are trees growing down on each side of the river, right? And so here you are with the tree growing with 12 kinds of fruit. So in Zechariah, it's different trees, each growing their fruit every month of the year. Now it seems to be one tree that can grow all different kinds of fruit. But the whole point of it is that God is there now. We are back with God. We're seeing God face to face pretty soon. We're back with Him. Everything has been turned. The clock's been turned back, right? We're on the new earth, whether it's a refurbished earth or a completely new earth, a new earth of a different kind, some people will say, another of a different kind. I was going to say a brother from another mother.
hang on, I know where it's going.
I don't know why that came to my mind, but here we are. Here we are, and everything's fabulous. The curse is gone. Right. God and the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face. There it is. And His name will be on their foreheads. Remember verse 14, chapter 14. They're going to have the name written on their foreheads. These are the people that are there.
Yeah.
Now, Caird said that these people are actually the martyred saints. Most of us think this refers to all the saints.
Right.
We usually throw ourselves into this group as well.
Right.
And night will be no more. Now, for us, night is really a lovely time, right? We have the northern lights up here, and we go out at night, and night is wonderful. Here, the idea of night was a dangerous time, a cursed time, a bad time. Night and darkness equals evil, right? And God is our light. I remember someone saying there's no shadows because light comes from everywhere. But
Sure,
if you like that, you know.
Yeah.
But
if you're into that, sure.
Well, then C.S. Lewis can't write his book, We Live in the Shadowlands, but the book of Hebrews, this is a shadow of the things to come. Yeah. And now God is there, and we are going to reign forever and ever. So the entire promise, or all of the promises, come together in 22:1-5.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. Right, it really is.
It really, it's really beautiful. And you know, especially with even the angel concluding, "These words are trustworthy and true." You know, just giving that comfort to people, like, "Hey, you're about to head off to this beautiful sort of place." So.
And the leaves are for the healing of the nations, for the healing of the nations, or for the healing of the Gentiles. And some people rightly point out, if this is a brand new earth and everything is new and the only people there are God's people, like, who are these leaves healing?
Yeah.
You know? So we think it's just metaphoric, of course, and the total idealists, those that see this thing as pointing to the gospel, say that this is all pointing to the gospel, bringing people unto Christ, bringing people around. Mm. But no matter how you look at it, Christians are with God now.
Yeah. Okay.
We're no longer stepping with one foot in this old evil age.
Right. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. And that stuff we were talking about before show is actually right in verse 1 is what you and I were talking about. You know, this is the last of the angel saying, the angel showed me. That's what we were talking about before.
Oh, yeah. This is the last show me. Showed me. These are the seven things that he showed him. From the end of 20, beginning of 21 through to 22, from 20 to 22.
So.
And he's done now. He is done. We're going to reign forever. And now he's just going to go back, and he's going to just remind people.
Okay. And I think we were going to go 7 to end of 11, right? If that's
what. Yeah. And I'm just going to say one more thing about 6, actually.
Oh, sure. I'm sorry, bud.
That's okay. I just thought of it now as I was reading 6. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servant what must soon take place. This is from chapter 1. I'm going to show you what must soon take place.
Ties it back.
Finishes the book, yeah.
Yeah, ties it all back together. Oh, yeah. Awesome.
And soon messes with us, of course.
Yeah.
2,000 years ago he wrote it.
Yeah. And hence, you know, off and running, we were at, you know, with people saying, you know, hey, this generation is passing away. Does it mean that we've missed it somehow, right? So.
No, that's right, yeah.
Okay, folks, picking it up at verse 7, to the end of 11. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do this or do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Wow, that's kind of an odd way to end it in some ways, hey?
It's really something, and he has said this before, you know. Now I've forgotten which chapter it was, but we had read this before about let those who are doing evil continue to do evil, right? Mm-hmm. If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword, that one. That whole idea, right, of this is going to happen very fast. And so people are just going to continue to do what they do. Now, he's not saying they can't change. He's basically saying they're probably not going to change. And verse number 7, and behold, I am coming. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Prophecy is meant to be followed, right?
Okay.
And you could almost say that John is quite arrogant here, you know, to say that this book is a prophecy, but he knew it was. You know, is this arrogance, or does the prophet just say, you know, I'm a prophet, and you follow what I tell you, because what I tell you is from God.
Yeah. Well, and John probably feel he was just simply the messenger. He wasn't like he said, God, let me tell you how you. Yeah.
Yeah, and God very carefully kept prophets in line. I mean, their lives were horrible.
Yeah, there was that sort of leveler that happened.
Well, yeah, like what would you rather be, a king or a prophet, right? Well, the prophet speaks for God, but the king, you know, by times would kill the prophets.
Yeah.
I don't like what you're saying. I think I'll just kill you now.
Yeah, this will be easier.
Yeah. So, and then John, he said, I'm the one who heard and saw these things. And when I saw them, I fell. And this is the same thing we get all the time. I fell down at the angel's feet to worship the angel. But he said to me, you must not do this. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brother, the prophets. Yeah. And those who keep the words of this book worship God. And he's pointing yet again, do not fall into angel worship. Hebrews did the same thing, right? Jesus is greater than the angels. So there was something going on with angels here that these authors are dealing with, to say we're not worshiping God's messengers.
Right? Yeah.
We're worshiping God.
Yeah.
And, you know, even as a pastor sometimes, you've got to watch out for this kind of stuff. People will turn to you as if you really have all the answers, and you need to point them to God, not to yourself.
Yeah.
And if you guys miss it, and they make a lot of money, but I don't know in the end if that's such a good thing.
Yeah. There's, we'd like to be the king for just a little while, but really we want to be the prophet when it comes right down to it, right? We'd rather be killed for our faith than actually just lead this easy life. But no, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, like that's... So nice, you know, so.
And then, sorry, I'm trying to remember the next section of you and I wanted to read. It was like 12 to...
Did you read, let those who are filthy continue to be filthy?
Oh yeah. Yep.
And we mentioned that just briefly. And we just have to stay with that, right? That the time is short. People aren't going to change.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing to say. And most people have trouble with this, but you know, what's he going to say?
Is this another, and this would be another illusion why people would go along that predestination road to say, well, you know, they're here. You know, they're evil. They're filthy.
You know what? And it's not a bad call, is it? Because he almost leads us in that direction.
Yeah.
But we don't think that that's what he's doing, because he so often has tried to bring people back in. And there was one point when they did turn in.
Yeah.
So in this book, even many times he said, and they didn't repent, and they didn't repent. And then was it chapter 9? There was one place where he says, and they did repent.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
give you one little thing for the world that we're
talking. One little.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was it 12 to the end of 15, and then it was 16 to the end of the book?
Yeah, let's do right. that.
Okay, cool. Look at me. I'm trying to remember what we said, and maybe I pulled the rabbit out of the hat here.
Which is the first thing you do on Easter.
Yeah, it's not a bad illusion to make, actually, at this time of year. Behold, I am coming soon. I will bring recompense with me. Gosh, that's all I need today with this. Behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and the murderers and adulterers, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. We've kind of seen this last sort of outside the city there is. We've seen that before, haven't we, Laren?
Yeah, just passages? In the last chapter.
He
did the very same thing in chapter 21. He talked about the New Jerusalem and then talked about those that couldn't get in, right? And then he talked about the second death. And we said it then, and we'll say it again. It's an odd thing to say because this is the brand new Jerusalem, right? This is the end of all time. And he's still saying that there are those outside of the city. The nations have been coming into this city and bringing all of their goods with them, right?
Right.
And everybody's getting blessed in the city, and God is here. And then he says, outside are the dogs is kind of bad. For those that love dogs, we will.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that, you know, the dogs don't get in.
But maybe a better translation, the mangy cats, let's put it that way.
The dogs can come because they're really lovely, but those, they must stay outside. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, which I think, didn't we say one thing said whoremongers?
That's right, we did, yeah, that's right.
We laughed about that expression, but.
Yeah, it's odd.
Yes, so the immoral people, the murderers, the idolaters, everyone who loves and practices falsehood. In the last chapter, he said he called those people liars. But here outside are the people that are living improperly, and they're outside of the city. So it's kind of odd, isn't it? They shouldn't be around anymore.
Yeah.
They should be in the lake of fire.
And I don't mean to be goofy about what I'm about to say, but it's almost like this New Jerusalem is kind of like this island in the middle of the, not in the middle of the lake of fire, but somewhere where you could see the lake of fire all the way around it, you know, for lack of a better word. It's kind of an odd human picture that we don't know how to deal with.
Yeah. And I've not thought of it that way. I've never thought of these people being in the lake of fire. And that's why it's always thrown me off. So if what you're saying is true, then he's just saying that these people are still alive. So it goes against our annihilation people.
Yeah, which I fire.
But it's really an evangelical message, isn't it? Isn't he just trying to say one last kick at the can? He's going to say, stop living like this. Come into the fold.
Come back to me.
You know, come back to Jesus. Or come to Jesus for the first time.
Yeah.
And don't be like these people. And for those of us that are kind of dabbling in some of this stuff, he's saying, clean up your act.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because unlike some of the passages that refer to everything relying on Jesus, this one says there is a standard that you have to live.
Yeah.
And so we should rush through that in this century of Canada and move on to Jesus being the bright morning star.
Yeah.
But I still think that even though he's talking about the end of all things, his message is he's still trying to get people to come to Christ.
Right. And, well, like you've always said, this is always about an evangelical message. So.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And it messes me up because I'm quite literal about the second coming of Jesus, but I'm fairly symbolic about the book, even though I'm literal about the things that happen, the types of things that happen. His message is come to Christ, and and be prepared to die for your faith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome, bud. All right, folks, the last section here. I, Jesus, starting in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. I will warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God will take away his share of the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus, be with you all. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears come, and let everyone who is thirsty come. What is he saying? He just talked about the sexually immoral not getting in, and now he's saying everybody should come. Everybody should come. And who's asking? Jesus is asking, right? The descendant of David. Jesus is the bright morning. The bright morning star, by the way, is Venus.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But that's the planet that you get that shines so brightly in the morning that you can see.
Right.
And,
right.
And this is a take on who is Jesus. It's that one that the bright and shining star that you can see. And Jesus is saying to everyone one more time, one last time.
Yeah.
Won't you please come?
Yeah, I appreciate you mentioning this yet again, Larry, because I think, you know, especially in some of the traditions I've been in, we look at this and this is the elect coming in or whatever, you know, whatever crazy term that we throw around that. And, you know, forget all the rest of them. They're all in the lake of fire being burned and tortured and who cares about them? This is all about us. But I think you've rightly brought it out that this is Jesus still saying, I still want them. I still want them with me. I still want everyone with me.
Yeah. Yeah. I was listening to on TV, one of the dispensational guys and he was straight up following the dispensational view. And at one point he said, but he is trying to bring people to Jesus here. And he caught it, didn't he? And if we're doing that, I think we're catching it. At least he caught it. So, you know, you fit into my view there for a minute. I was very pleased to hear it. And it's what we're all about. And then he warns everybody. You know, if you're hearing this book, remember, because you've just heard this book. It's been a 45-minute drama at the end of the Love Feast, at the end of the Lord's Supper, and everybody's right. Got together. And someone who is a very good reader has read this whole thing. And at the end, he says, if you've heard this, do not change this book. If you add to it, you're going to get the plagues. And if you detract from it, then you will not share in the tree of life in the holy city. So he very much makes these real things. Right. The tree of life in the holy city are something that you need to, that you are going to share in. But don't mess with what this book is about. And what is this book about? It's about God bringing people unto himself in many different ways.
Yeah. And then there's that fun. And sorry, go ahead. You go.
No, you say it.
Well, I was just going to say, and then it kind of concludes with that. Let's give hope to his audience one more time, right? I am coming soon.
I'm coming soon. And then the cry out, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, right? Come Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Amen. And he has finished this book, and his audience has heard it, you know, at the end of the Love Feast, at the end of the reading, they've heard this book, and now they're going to go out and they're going to go about their day. They're going to live out their lives, right? If they're in some of these cities, they're just going to go about a normal day. If you're in Smyrna, you're going out, and you're going to get arrested. If you're in different places in the empire, different things are happening to the Christians. And John was preparing them all for what the possibilities were. But if you lived in Ephesus, you weren't going to be killed as those that lived in Smyrna, as those that lived in Philadelphia. Right. You know, if you lived in some of those places, you were just trying to live for Christ in the midst of, if you were Thyatira, you were living for Christ in the midst of the guilds doing their thing, the guilds doing their thing, the union doing their thing. And people from all different parts of the empire were living all different types of Christian lives.
Yeah.
And he was bringing them all to him. And I think we do the same thing now, but it's more global. But the emphasis is the same, isn't it? Yep. Like if you're living in some parts of the world today, you're dying for your faith. Yep. You know, if you're living in Canada, you're trying to figure out how to live out your faith in an appropriate manner in the midst of the blessings of this country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well put, bud. Well put. Yeah.
And he's done. And the big thing for all of us is that Jesus is coming soon. And every one of those preachers that says he's going to come in my generation, I think they're correct in feeling that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to happen, but I think they're correct in feeling it. And it seems the older we get, the more certain we are of this. and the older we get, the more certain this is for us.
Yeah. I always think that's because we're afraid to die, but you know, we'd like to just to be somehow be vacated, but
And I've always said I am not afraid to die. I'm quite nervous about how I'm going to die.
You know, right. So. That's me as well. Me as well. Well, folks, you might think this is the end. But it's not. This is not the end of the Apocalypse podcast. You might say, well, guys, you started this thing to talk about Revelation. Yes, we did, but we're going to continue on. And in about a week's time or so, we'll come back with another episode. And Larry's going to lead us through something called the death motif. And we'll kind of talk about that for maybe an episode or two. And then we'll switch gears and we'll head off somewhere else and go down there too. So we're not leaving you. We're just kind of, and the death motif is kind of something that Larry will explain to us that plays through all this book. Larry, do you want to do any introduction to that, or we'll get to that maybe then too, right?
Yeah, we'll get to it then. I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, and so it'll be something to look forward to. I think you'll enjoy those episodes too that we do. And Larry, thanks so much, folks. Thanks so much for journeying with us on this. Just appreciate you listening in and. Anyway, so until next time, I'm Steve. He's
Dr. Van Beek,
and we will see you next time on the Apocalypse Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us.